Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh my heavens!
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, guys. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgating home 2020. Hope you're having a great day. We certainly are. Good news for the Falcons, which we'll share with you coming up. And also, we will get to our strong arm story of the day, which has us perplexed about a thing. We'll explain coming up in 20 minutes. Hey, Mike, last night, Falcons win. What did you take from it? 25-17. Was there anything you reached and you grabbed and you took from last night?
No, I said it on Twitter last night, and follow us. He's put him up, C Deuce. I'm Mike Bale, ATL. It's everything that Falcon fans, unfortunately, have come to expect, love and hate, about this team the last couple of seasons. We have the ability to look great from 25-yard line to 20-yard line. We go from the 20 to 20 with Matt and Julio like nobody's business. We get in the red zone, slap on the brakes. They tried to run it, and that play got blowed up. Matt didn't see a wide-open Calvin Ridley. And Julio, statistically, it looks great. I'm always, obviously, Carl, I want more touchdowns. But last night, you saw the offense look good, stumble a bit in the red zone. We had to settle for three, four field goal attempts. It aggravates you. And then on the defensive side, you can see Grady doing his job. You know, see Keanu, as you mentioned, getting, you know, juked out of his jock. And then some dumb penalties, including one from a first-round buster we picked up because nobody else wanted him.
Charles Harris, guys, it didn't cost the Falcons because if we lose the game, I think we're riding that particular play a little bit more.
They got no points off that, right? There's nothing happening after that. It bogged down.
But
because they had to put in an XFL quarterback. That's why.
Well, listen, Teddy Bridgewater was under duress. He was not the same after that took place last night. But Charles Harris gets called for a penalty. It was basically, you know, a personal foul, and he hit him, not late, but he hit him in a way that, again, you didn't have to do that. And so I'm with you with the dumb penalties. But for me, I look at this and I'm going, okay, you put up 400 total yards, right? You had, you know, a situation where Matt Ryan runs for a touchdown, but Ryan was good. Julio was good. But more importantly, the defense. The defense in these two-minute situations at the end of games, guys, had given up 54 points going into last night at the end of halves and games. It was the worst in the NFL, and that's one of the reasons why we had lost the games we had lost. Go back a week before, a minute four left on the clock is when Matthew Stafford got the ball. Last night, they had the ball with a minute four. And so the difference was the defense in Bleedy Ray Wilson, and I'm going to let you hear this coming up right here, but Mike, he gets the pick of Bridgewater. They found a way to make a play. Here's how it sounded.
Here's the snap to Bridgewater. Moving left, flag thrown. They put it up. It's intercepted. Taken away by Bleedy Ray Wilson at the 11-yard line. There is a flag down on the play, but Wilson likely has come up with his third career interception and his second of the year.
Bleedy Ray. Looking good, Bleedy Ray. Feeling good, Bleedy Ray.
Looking good, Bleedy Ray. But that's a 48 Hours reference, by the way. But the pass rush and the blitz. Mike, I thought it was the best we've seen it all year.
Yeah, the pass rush was effective. The rush, I mean, they blitz more. The bigger plays were the blitz. I thought, you know, we said Isaiah Oliver, look, if you can't cover, send him to go hit the quarterback. And he did that. So they were, and I think you and I have argued this for years. If we're going to go down, let's go down swinging. If we don't have the ability, if we can't generate a real consistent pass rush with our four down linemen, which is the defensive dynamic of a Dan Quinn / Seahawks defense that we brought over here, let's blitz. And we did last night, and it was effective. And then, you know, I mean, guys, I thought did a pretty good job. You know, I mean, I know our defense, as we said, Carl, it is what it is. We need more playmakers. I would shop around tack. Obviously, if there's a market for tack, adios. If we can get Dante Fowler off the payroll. And we've seen other teams take on new free agents and then trade them within 8 weeks. So it's not impossible. But I still am a little nonplussed. I want to see the rookies. I want to see all the rookies. I want to see everybody from this draft class getting out there and flying around.
I do, too, because it's going to give us a chance to evaluate them. Here's what you got to take from last night. The defense held Carolina to a field goal in the second half. That's a plus. That is something that this team has struggled with. It's something that we've talked about in the last few minutes of a game. And last night, the defense in the second half was as good as it's been all year. Now, why? We could break down all the reasons as we've tried to here with pressure and making, you know, Bridgewater feel uncomfortable. There really was no run game developed. And, you know, you're outgaining them, time of possession, all of those things. But the defense held them to 3 points. That's what I need. That's what I'm going to need moving forward. And it's something, Mike, we just can't and haven't been able to put our finger on as to why this defense hadn't been able to get consistent stops when they've needed to. Last night they did.
So we win the game. And, of course, the first question is, and how does that make you feel? Because, as you know, Falcon fans, I guess we all feel like we're in therapy with this team, right? The I don't know, the unknowns out there. What's the new regime going to look like? Is the GM going to stick with Raheem Morris? Are we going to have a new coach? Obviously, we're going to have a new GM. But do we want to try to, you know, the tanking for Trevor is beyond at this point. As we said, Matt and Julio are immovable objects. So I'm done, you know, talking about it. Can we go get Carl? The kind of defense we see around the league. Look at the Steelers, you know. We could have had J.J. Watt's brother. You know, we could have had him. You know, we didn't overthought it. We got tack, yippee-ki-yay. But, I mean, go build this defense up. We get enough offensive pieces. Maybe we move on from Dirk Cutter. We pull somebody from another offense that maybe we get away from trying to replicate a quasi-Shanahan right. offense. Just a right. thought.
Well,
But it all goes back to I hate to lose, but I don't know what I'm getting from winning.
Well, I think this is kind of a combination of what I'm seeing with this offense. This is not all like, you know, read zone or zone read option or not option, but stretch plays that Shanahan likes to run. This has been, you know, I saw a bubble screen last night. That's Dirk, you know. I've seen some things that are Dirk-ish that is signatures of the things that he likes to do. So I think this is kind of a combination, but I'm with you. I just think we got so caught up in it took us to the Super Bowl, we have to duplicate that. We don't. If you've got a guy that comes in and says, this is how we're going to run this offense, and this is how we're going to be explosive, this is how we're going to make big plays, I'm all for it, as long as it works. But I think we got into that mode those last few years that, you know, we had to run it like that because it got us to a Super Bowl, and then we didn't run it well. So either way, guys, here's the other thing. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report. By the way, always brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, with a great pizza deal right now for you guys. It's the chicken taco or the cheeseburger pizza. You know, other guys claim they can do it. Domino's does it the best. And one thing for sure, you want takeout. Takeout never. Delivery gets to your house the way you want it. Get it fresh. Get it hot right there from Domino's. Go to Domino's.com and check out the curbside carryout as well.
I want you to hear from Matt Ryan, and then a couple of things that I think are worth mentioning. One, he talked about the start last night, and immediately they got Julio involved. And how many times have I said, the game starts, I want to see you throwing the ball to Julio, get him established. And they did that last night. Here's Matt.
What a way to start the game. Back-to-back explosive plays to Julio and just kind of set the tone for the kind of day he was going to have. I thought we handled the elements well, though. You know, we had just a one turnover, but for the most part, I thought we did a really good job with that.
So Matt's 13-yard rushing touchdown marked the longest rushing touchdown in the regular season of his career. So that run last night for Matt, the longest touchdown run by a Falcons quarterback in the regular season, obviously, is Mike Vick.
He passed Troy Aikman because they were joking around about it. I think he passed Troy Aikman on the list, on the all-time touchdown by quarterback list. So obviously it's low on the totem pole. But look, I love to see Matt make those kind of plays because, you know, for all the shots I've taken about Matt not connecting in the red zone, not scoring enough touchdowns and everything, You don't question his toughness. And I know years ago he kind of slid in the red zone, and guys still chirp about that. He's put his body on the line, man. He does stuff. And I know, again, the haters out there are going to hate, but you got to give Matt all the credit. He's working his ass off out there. Now, if physical limitations prevent him from completing some of these throws, so be it. But you can't question the heart last night, Carl. He was making plays.
No, I've never done that. I agree with you. I don't think that should be in the conversation. And when opportunity presents itself, you know, that's the thing. You're screaming, go, because it opens up, and he went. One other thing, Mike, before we finish up with the Falcons, and we'll get to our strong-arm story of the day, something we're pondering here. Todd Gurley. How surprised are you about what Gurley's doing?
Well, this was the question. When we got Gurley, obviously Georgia fans were fired up. The casual Falcon fan was fired up because Gurley's a name brand. But you and I said, let's temper our enthusiasms, as Al Capone would say, because, you know, he's got an arthritic knee, and this is going to, you know, reality-wise, what kind of pitch count will he be on? Well, last night, Todd Gurley had a great effort. You know, granted, we never really got the run game going. He only averaged 2.6 yards per carry, but he scored a touchdown. They give him a rest in the third quarter. You see Brian Hill and Ito come in. Even Quadri Allison got a run on a short yardage play, which was great. But Todd Gurley's got more touchdowns going into this weekend than anybody in the NFL. Think about that. And he was second, at least in some part of the broadcast they mentioned, second in total carries. So for a guy who's supposed to be on a pitch count, he's exceeded all expectations, I would say. And by the way, now I'd like to keep him and draft another running back and have a tandem for next season.
Well, he's shown he still has it. That's the thing. You're giving him the ball. He's showing you that he can still do the things you want him to do. Meanwhile, guys, update on Calvin Ridley, his MRI on his foot he had today. He is considered day-to-day, which is great news. The negative X-ray came back last night, so MRI, no real damage.
So we got a chance here. Can we beat the Broncos and get him into the bye?
That's the thing. He has a chance to be back after the mini bye, as Coach Raheem Morris said last night. But, Mike, if you wanted to, I said this, you could rest him this game. And again, I don't think we're in, you know, that space to be resting anybody. But if he can play, he should play. But if you wanted to and said, you know what, he's more important to our long-term success, then you got the bye. You're talking about 20 days between the last time he was on the field and then seeing the Saints. I think that'd be adequate rest for that ankle if he needed it. Hey, man, we're going to get to our strong arm story of the day next.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Coming up at 6, we'll talk to Dave Archer after last night's game. And look ahead, man. Things could be looking up for the Falcons. One of the things we've been contemplating today here on the show, and I just want you guys to help me answer this. How can you cheer for your team and want them to win, but at the same time cheer for your team and want them to lose?
Exactly.
And as we talk about where this Falcon football team is, many of you go, Dukes and Bell, man, they're 2-6. I hear you. I know what the record is. But how can you cheer for them to win, but at the same time cheer for them to lose? What is it? Which one is it? And if it's one or the other, why? If it's to win, which is what the objective is in sports, then I get that. But if it's to lose, explain to me how losing, okay? Unless you're doing a complete reset, Mike, and we've talked about this, I don't think this franchise is going to do that. I'm not convinced that that's going to happen. When I say a complete reset, you're moving on from, as Steve Koonin said, your aging veterans, not specifically talking about the Falcons, he was talking about the Hawks, but you move on from your aging veterans, you have a complete overhaul. I don't believe that's going to happen. So what is losing ultimately going to do for us, even if we do have a top five pick, when you're not doing a complete reset?
And that's the conundrum. But, I mean, look, it's human nature as a fan. I said this the other day, to want something sparkly and new. Okay, you've been driving a car for a couple of years. A new model comes out. Like, ooh, ah. So it's and it's,
is this like men with middle age?
By the way.
Is this the same thing?
I just had a conversation with a local car dealer. I might not get a new Corvette till 2022, which is music to Becky's ears. There's a lot of backlog. But anyway, but you want the new stuff. And it's not a disrespectful thing to Matt. It's just human nature. As we said, Matt has done some great things in this city. Greatest of all, the greatest Falcon quarterback to ever dress out, bar none. Julio, greatest Falcon wide receiver, bar none. Well, you know, he's going to the Hall of Fame. And Matt, if the numbers keep up, he's going to the Hall of Fame too. But it's just, but when you don't win and you're not winning the Super Bowl, and again, we're not rehashing 2016, but you're not going anywhere. And that's what Steve said. I think we could agree. You know, we should have been in the playoffs this year for the Hawks, and the turnaround would have been even quicker.
Right.
But when you're not winning, not losing, You are no man's land. You literally are. You are in like this like twilight zone, and that's where the Falcons are right now. So here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to get off the trades, which are impossible anyway. I'm just going to say find the best offensive coach and general manager who can find some talent,
okay.
Get a new offensive coordinator, and let's just hope we can build a rock 'em sock 'em defense, which almost happened for us in 1 year in 16 with the rookies. And let's get this team back into playoffs and maximize his talent. Let's get a big running back. If you can keep Todd in the mix, that'd be – imagine the 1-2 punch. You know, but the problem is, Carl, we don't have the money for free agency because of the cap. So this goes back to, again, it's like a yin and a yang in your brain, right, when we argue about this, because it comes back to the money and what you can and can't do.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of Falcon fans who are conflicted with this. Last night, it was interesting. You know, I'm getting messages and people hit me up saying, I really don't want to win tonight. And I'm like, that why? Like I get the whole record thing and you feel like this is, you know, a lost cause. But there's nobody in that locker room that feels that way. And I know, you know, that it's hard to relate to that because, again, you're not in that locker room. But Calvin really don't feel that way. I can guarantee you Grady don't feel that way. Okay? So when you start saying, like, I want them to lose, I have a hard time understanding that. I would rather win, okay, not be the laughingstock of jokes, not be the butt of jokes around the country, Mike, not be the memes, have the memes all about our team that we've seen over the last 5 or 6 weeks. I don't want any a part of that.
Did you watch the pregame last night?
I did.
So I'm out there, you know, I'm just drinking a brew, and I come inside, and pregame just, it seems like the Thursday night football game takes forever to get going. All the jokes about the Falcons.
Real quick, you know what Michelle said? She was like, is this the freaking Super Bowl? It was funny. She was like, when's this game going to start?
No, I'm the same mindset. I mean, it just goes, I don't watch pregame because we talk football all week, so we know everything. The only thing you're going to need is a last-minute injury. Pregame shows are the stupidest thing now.
You thought they took shots at us.
It was all, because guess what? We deserved it all.
Yeah.
But don't you hate being a punching bag? But this goes back to your first question. Do you want to stay the course and hope we can augment the star players with guys that fit? Or you say, guess what? With the star players, we're not doing starts with an S, ends with a T. So what's the point? But all that reinforced last night, watching Fox, all the our NFL Network, all the same stupid, corny jokes about how crap we are.
Yeah, I saw that. Specifically, you know what it was? I think, and guys, you may have seen this as well. Text us and let us know if you saw this last night. It was like the video intro before they go to Troy and company.
Right.
And it was, you know, the Falcons can't win close games. You know, that whole thing.
And even when they don't want to score a touchdown, they
right.
do. It's like like a giant banana peel. They did this whole NASCAR thing because Jeff Gordon narrated a segment where they applied like NASCAR paint schemes to all different teams in the NFC South. And we're the chokers. We're the chokers who can't get out of our own way. That's our tag. So that's why, to your point, guys, some guys say, oh, the hell with this. Let's blow the thing up.
What do you guys think? You want to see them win? You want to see them lose? Or you're cheering for them when they're winning, but you really hope they lose. Or do you want to see them lose,
honestly,
and not win?
I'm the middle. Is that option B? Put
yes.
me down for B, because that was me last night.
Because it's the hardest thing, I think, that we're dealing with right now, because you feel like we're completely out of the picture. And I don't know if we are. I mean, I say this, and I'm looking at the NFC. NFC East is terrible, guys. Terrible. I'm looking at the NFC. I'm going, okay, Packers. Okay, I'm looking around Seattle, and I don't know, you know, if we go on that kind of run to put ourselves in position maybe for, you know, one of those last playoff spots, Mike. I'm not going to go that far. That'd be foolish at this point. But I just, even at 2-6, I can't find myself watching this team and saying, man, I hope we lose tonight.
No,
I don't want to lose.
When Matt hits Julio on a cross, I'm like, go, go, go. You know what I mean? I want all the things that I bitch and moan about to happen so I don't have to bitch. You think I enjoy crapping on this stuff every other week?
It's exhausting.
But that's like when you watch like Russell Wilson hitting Tyler Lockett in stride and you see the stuff that, you know, all the other elite quarterbacks are doing. Like, damn, why can't we make that happen? But, hey, we got to win. We should have 3 wins in a row. We should have a 3-game winning streak with Raheem. But again, that blemish of the Lions game is still on his resume before we anoint Raheem the next head coach if we finish at 500, which I think is going to disappoint some Falcon fans too.
Yeah, it might. I mean, yeah, and you got to look at their whole resume. I can't say last night's game erases the week before. That's foolish. It is going to be the total resume. But last night it was funny. We talked about this a little bit earlier today. There was a learning moment last week. That whole, we're going 4th on 4th and 5 no matter what. No, you're not.
There's dumb.
There's a time to do that. And even though you're on the road and everybody's like, what do you have to lose? Your job and maybe not a chance at another opportunity. Take the points. And he did last night. And it was kind of – and, yes, we wasted a timeout. But you know what? Right decision. So I'll look at the totality of all things at the end of the season, and we'll see where it is. And if they've won, Mike, and played better under him, which they do look like they're playing better, then he'll deserve a shot at the job. That's not to say, guys, you don't go ahead and interview others and you don't have interest in other people, because this doesn't happen every day. You want to make sure you cover all your bases and you go after the right guys.
It's a strong-arm story of the day. If there was sort of a strong-arm story B, we did cover it about an hour and a half ago in the college football report, the Blitz. But the Trevor Lawrence thing, a lot of guys hitting us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line about that. A lot of guys saying, oh, Trevor won't even miss this game. No, I think he's going to miss the Boston College game. They got an athletic backup. You're going to see the next generation of Clemson quarterback this weekend. But you think he plays against Notre Dame, by the way?
Well, the 10 days is interesting. I mean, literally it backs up to – I think just a day or two. I'd have to go look at the calendar.
So no practice.
Before they play Notre Dame.
Hasn't he earned the right to do that?
Oh, of course.
Of course he has.
Yeah. It's not that he can't play or not practice and play. My concern would be 10 days away from the teammates, allegedly, isolated, quarantined or whatever, Mike, and then you're just going to come back and play, you know, excellent against Notre Dame. That's asking a lot. So it's not that he needs to practice, but again, game planning and what do you want to do against Notre Dame specifically, those kinds of things. I don't know, man. That one is up in the air right now.
But it makes that game a hell of a lot more compelling. I'm not sure if they're going to, you know, it's going to be as scary as the Syracuse game was, two seasons ago, the 2018 campaign, when they had Trevor Lawrence as a freshman knocked out of the contest. The backup did a fantastic job. But still, it's not a cakewalk, that's for sure.
No, and I think, you know, the other part of this is we've seen entertainers, we've seen, you know, all walks of life test positive. And I think more than anything, you know, people looking at this and going, all right, Trevor Lawrence, you said this earlier, and I think it's important. I don't know how this bout's going to hit him. It's hit people. It hits people differently. Some people get really sick.
Look at Freddie Freeman here with the Braves.
Braves, yeah. So hopefully he'll be fine and, you know, and be able to get back and play and everything's good. But I do think that this is just another example of this virus don't discriminate.
No.
You know, and that's
but it's
thing.
Also but it's also not a death sentence.
And that's the other part of this. So you've seen older, younger, in between people come back from this thing and be just fine. And I say just fine because, again, we don't know all the information 10 years from now. I'm not going to sit here and claim I do. But be fine in the fact that they can go back to work, they can live their lives and do the things that they want to do, at least in the short term. And we'll see how long term, you know, what this thing is. Hey, man, we got some guy talk on the way, Mike Bell.
Yeah, man. More on the great leaf blower debate, whether you should go gas or electric. But also, Carl, Aunt Becky joins the cast of Orange is the New Black, Lori Loughlin, in The Big House.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah! Yes! Yes!
Damn right, on a Friday. It's brought to you by Hoots Wings, guys. Three locations in Metro Atlanta. Peachtree Corners is now open for takeout and delivery. Madison Yards on the Beltline on the southeast side of town. And over at Church Street in Decatur, guys, Buffalo Shrimp, your favorite wings. 10,000 different varieties of flavors. Smoked wings, naked wings like I like them. Waffle fries, tater tots, fried pickles. Get some Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. You guys are always hitting us up. Hey, man, where do I find the brew? They're carrying our beer at Hoots Wings. So grab some when you grab the wings, Carl. It's a winner. Hey,
it
man,
is a winner. I'm sorry. I was clapping. I was trying to maneuver my applause because, yes, it is a winner. Sorry about that.
By the way, Becky just made a run. Max, I think it's our last purchase at Max. We're going to start.
Aww.
Our beer is over at Cheers, which is a great package store on the south side of town in Peachtree City. But, yeah, man, it's a Friday. Let's get to it. Feels good with a Falcon win. It's funny. I was just talking to a couple of friends texting back and forth. And like I always say, it beats a sharp stick in the eyeball. Let the chips fall. We'll see where it goes. You know, I'm with you, brother. At the end of the day, I cannot, you know, root for a team to lose. It's un-American. It's counterintuitive to anything we've ever been brought up to as far as how we compete or how we root for our favorite teams.
Yeah. So as we talked about it, I don't know how to answer somebody's like, yeah, I really want them to lose. Well, then why are you a fan? Like, if you're not, then I get it. You know, but if you are a fan, I can't root for any team that I care about to lose.
I understand the dynamics. That's those like me that are suffering from Falcon fatigue. Hey, real quick, Carl, I want to give out a shout-out part two. I did this yesterday to my guy, Ian, from Newlink. Newlink are the guys that do the internet where I live in my neck of the woods down here in Coweta County. He recorded it off radio.com, and then he lost it. So I got an email from Ian. Don't call me Ian. It's Ian. He's a guy who listened to you in Texas. He grew up in Beaumont. He said, you know, give me a big old put him up to Carl because he grew up to listening to you in Texas. He did an amazing job yesterday. My house, to get the studio up and running, required my man, Ian, to go above and beyond the call. He did a fantastic job. He was up here all morning to get us hardwired so we could do the radio broadcast. So he was crushed because with radio.com and we were into the Falcons, he couldn't rewind and play it for his boss.
Oh,
you know, so gotcha. I want to give him a shout out. But anyway, thanks, Ian. He's a big listener, and I know I want to make sure he got that. So there you go. Thanks, brother. A job well done.
Put him up!
Hey, man, Aunt Becky joins the cast of Orange is the New Black. Lori Loughlin turned herself in, Carl. Her big old whopping 2-month sentence at a California federal prison. You guys remember this story. Basically, it was classic Hollywood / Beverly Hills with celebrities trying to basically one-up each other to make sure their idiot children got into elite colleges where perhaps maybe community college is where they need to be. The Full House star had been ordered to report to prison on the 19th of November. She surrendered on Friday, Carl, a prison in Dublin, California. Apparently, Aunt Becky wanted to go to the Club Fed. The place where she's going is not that. There's a place in Victorville, California, which is by Death Valley, which is apparently easier. She's in Dublin, California, the same prison where actress Felicity Huffman, William Macy's wife, served her sentence. She was there a total, Carl, hard times, 11 days.
I did 11 hard days.
Yeah, man. Now, the only time I was ever locked up overnight was in Manhattan, and that's when they had these prisons called the Tombs, and it was scary, but 11 days of incarceration, she described as harsh, did Felicity Huffman. Dublin is by reputation, Carl, what they call Club Fed.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, first of all, most of y'all wouldn't make it out of the holding cell. secondly, the county ain't no joke, okay? People think like stuff don't go down in the county. You go to county for a week or two, Mike, it's a different world. Prison? Now, again, we're making jokes. Like, that wasn't prison. I mean, come on, man.
This is federal prison. In case you're wondering where these California prisons line up, according to Forbes, I'm glad that Forbes did the tally, Dublin in California, Dublin Prison, is known as America's 10 cushiest prisons in America list for 2009.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like, man, I was sitting on the couch watching some TV.
I mean, it ranks number 7. I mean, when these Wall Street guys, right, when the white collar criminals get pinched, again, they're not breaking rocks. They're not like, that's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. It's not like that. These guys are in there playing tennis or crying out loud.
Right, anyway, right.
So Aunt Becky, and this is all the bribe and cajole USC admissions people to make her kids sound smarter than they were. I mean, ultimately, it's a victimless crime. But hey, they made an example out of her. She's looking at 2 months, Carl.
Two hard months. Listen, I don't want any days in prison. I really don't. I mean, I've had friends that have served time, and you hear some of the stories, and it's absolutely incredible to think that the conditions that, you know, you just, I have no recollection. I'm like, I don't even think about the kind of things that they deal with every day, but right. I don't want any time in prison, so I'm making fun, but whether it's 11 days or 2 months, count me out.
Me and Tony the Mailman, the guys, we got into a bar brawl in Athens at this bar called the Amphitheatro, this gigantic nightclub, like a Vegas-style nightclub. And then Tony, we're in the back of the cop car, told him, it's going to be like freaking Midnight Express, man. And then we figured out about halfway through, as long as you give these guys some cash, they dropped us off at the corner.
Oh, man, come on.
They wanted American dollars. That was 1996. They wanted hard currency. I'm like, does anyone speak English? I'm waving money. I'm like, how about money? Guys like... I go, well, yeah, then sure enough, they pull over, we give them the cash, and we walk back to the club. We're back in a club in a half hour. But anyway, in South America, they call that the chorizo, or the sausage, the bribe. That's how it works, brother. Hey, real quick, before we get to like this day in history and all the stuff going on in the market, we were doing guy talk, and earlier today in Yeah Man, No Man, Squid Billy was assailing me that I picked up a cordless, battery-powered leaf blower, which apparently is a violation of man code or some court. Again, I haven't owned a house in my entire life. I've always lived in an apartment or a condo, but I picked up a the brushless lithium ion Makita LXT, which some guys think is awesome, but apparently makes me a P and ends with a Y.
Well, you guys are taking care of the environment. I'll say that, okay?
Well, again, all I'm doing is
gas.
Well, again, I didn't realize you had 40 acres you had to handle there, Hoss. I just got a driveway and a pool deck is all I'm worried about. But anyway, this was a thing. Speaking of guy stuff, has the big tree been taken out? Explain to the listeners who missed it earlier what's going on in your neighborhood.
All right, so this is. I'm glad you asked that question too, because here's the latest update. Neighbor had a tree, a big pine, like a 30-year-old pine, go through the house when this storm hit the other night. And we had trees down, and I had, you know, debris everywhere and fences broken, but nothing like this. So today they came to take the tree off the house and out of the house. It's still sitting there, Mike. Now they've cut the limbs and the branches off, but the big part, the main, you know, part of the tree is still there. Why? After all the things that we talked about earlier, and if you missed the show, you got to tune in 2 o'clock. You never know what you're going to miss. This truck basically backed up. They were going to try to maneuver this off the house and then realize we might do more damage. So they called for a crane. So this crane apparently is coming. There are guys still here, but this crane hasn't shown up yet because they don't want to maneuver this tree. It's so big. They don't want to maneuver it and that it could do more damage to the house. So they are literally waiting on this huge crane. So the job is yet to be done. And I've been sitting here all day being entertained, except for the part where the guy couldn't get out the mud. And then they had to pull another truck in here to try to pull them out.
So they had a truck in there. They had to get another truck to pull another truck out. Meanwhile, everybody's out there with their camera phones as Jethro Bodine tree removal continues.
It's unreal. My neighbor comes out and I walked outside during a break and I said, you feeling okay? He said, yeah, they told me they got to go get a crane. So I'm feeling better now because I told you these guys were sitting around. They must have been here 40 minutes like contemplating. You guys all right? Yeah, yes, sir. We're fine. I mean, they were talking about how they were going to do this job and way before they started it.
What was the degree of butt crack on the employees working on this project?
Well, Mike, I saw a lot of butt crack.
I'll tell you what, we need to get the Z500 crane in here right about now.
So I want to see this damn crane, because this, I'm telling you now, the way this thing is, it's sitting off the second floor of the house, right? Man. And it's in the base of the, you know, the first floor. I got to see this crane. I'm curious to see what pulls up. You know, we talked about those cranes Arthur Blank brought in to build Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
How big is this crane going to be?
You see those things from the space shuttle, man. That's right. Hey, man, I got some big days in history and birthdays I want to run by you. So let's hit the closing bell back at the ranch. Thank you, Ken, on the board. It's brought to you by our buddies at Atlantic Capital Bank. They fuel prosperity. All right, we didn't get crushed today, but it ain't great. 150 points down was the Dow Jones. S&P 500 was down 40. NASDAQ was down 2.45%. So, tough day. Wall Street, it's 1 week sell-off, the worst since March. Try to help you with the money. It's our buddies at Atlantic Capital Bank. Go to AtlanticCapitalBank.com. All right, brother. Birthdays today. The Fonz. Henry Winkler is 75 years old.
Yeah, one of the most iconic roles in the history of television, playing the Fonz. And he's had a great run with movies as well, Mike. I mean, he's done a bunch of stuff.
If you go on YouTube, he was on the Actors Studio earlier last year, and it's great. He's such a likable guy, and just, you'd love him, man. So anyway, Henry Winkler, the Fonz, 75. Diego Maradona is 60. Speaking of great documentaries, one of the legendary soccer players, and his life is kind of off the rails at times. Nia Long, Carl, remember who Nia Long is?
Yeah, of course I do.
Boys into Hood, Fresh Prince, So Sexy in Boiler Room. I've always thought she's a knockout. Anyway, Nia Long, she's 50 today.
Wow. Yeah, man. And Nia's still getting in. I mean, she's still putting it down. She's done a lot of different projects. But you're right, one of the most beautiful women out there, no doubt.
All right, one of our favorites, Kevin. I'm going to tell Squid Billy. Maybe we try to get him on the show. I don't know if he's still doing stand-up comedy, but Kevin Pollak, the actor, you might know him as Todd Hockney in The Usual Suspects.
Oh, yeah.
Carl and I know him as Who's Going to Do It? You, Lieutenant Weinberg. Kevin Pollak was on Rich Eisen's show about a month or two ago, and he talked about how Jack Nicholson did those scenes basically in almost one take.
I believe
it's unbelievable how quickly, but he does the quintessential Jack Nicholson impression, does a great Spacey, just great, great guy. Also born on this day, Christopher Columbus. he's still my guy who discovered America. Screw the Vikings. And our second president, John Adams, one of the great, the HBO docudrama on him with Paul Giamatti playing him. And you, if you never read the book, it's about the size of a phone book, but it's amazing. All right, Carl, on this day in history, some amazing stuff. The Rumble in the Jungle.
Ooh.
32-year-old Muhammad Ali becomes the heavyweight champ when he knocks out 25-year-old George Foreman. And it's one of my favorite movies. I know it does drag at times, Michael Mann. In Kinshasa, Zaire, Ali obviously lost the title when the government took it away. Then the Supreme Court reinstated him. And just an amazing story. But The Rumble in the Jungle, Carl, on this date. Great, great movie. Also on this date in history. The Perfect Storm. Remember 1991, the movie? This was the great nor'easter that tore up New England. And for radio nerds, Carl and I know this. Orson Welles, The War of the Worlds radio play. 1938, they said that the aliens had landed in New Jersey and people were freaking out.
Yeah.
And it kind of launched Orson Welles onto everything else later, 2 years later, Citizen Kane. All today, Carl, on this day in history.
Great stuff, man. Coming up, Dave Archer's going to join us for his weekly visit here on the program after a Falcon victory. What did he take from last night? We'll find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.